Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and this is Earnestly Speaking. I'm speaking to Rona Fried. I was referring to her by a wrong name, but she is the executive director of Sustainable and SustainableBusiness.com. And we were talking about the advent of the oil sands being exploited in Canada, and what a big detrimental effect it would have on the environment. And the potential for it to being infinitely worse has been pointed out to me that I really had not now known. And that what do you say the size of the field is?
If they are allowed to expand by getting the pipeline passed, it will be the size of Florida.
And it would be replacing.
It will be destroying the boreal forest.
Yeah, and so it's a really important.
It
issue.
Already is destroying the boreal forest, but you know it will be completely destroyed.
Now,
you know, and not to mention, you know, I could go on for an hour about this at least, but you know, the people that live in Alberta near the tar sands right now mm-hmm. are, you know, having cancer spikes, all of these rare cancers, all sorts of health problems. The water is undrinkable. You know, native tribes that have lived there for thousands of years.
There's a lot of competition for water,
et cetera.
There's a lot of competition for water because this process takes a lot of water, right?
It takes a huge amount of water, and it pollutes the water.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about the idea of taxing people who have solar panels on their roof.
Yeah. Right?
It's the only tax that I think the Koch brothers like.
Exactly.
Because
they're always against taxes, but not if you have solar.
Yeah, and, you know, they're protecting their interests because they'd like you to burn some of their coal.
Well, what's happening is that we are hitting a pivotal moment in our history right now. We are trying very hard to move from a fossil fuel economy to a renewable energy economy. And the fossil fuel industry really didn't care about what we were doing until very recently when solar started making real inroads.
Oh, yeah. We were just the solar people were just
we were just a blip on the screen. They
yeah,
really weren't concerned.
You're a gnat.
You know, we weren't infringing on their industry or anything, on their profits. But now solar is really, really taking off.
Incidentally, they're working on things at solar at Brookhaven National Laboratories with the Light Source program, where they can rearrange molecules to get a lot more energy out of a panel. For example, we get 16% of the sun's power that it actually hits the panel into electricity. By doing this, they could maybe get it up to 50% or more. And if
you
that happens,
there's no doubt that with the support that the industry deserves, that we're going to be seeing technological breakthroughs.
Well, if that happens, without making any manufacturing gains, we've tripled the value of
That's
one
right.
panel, and that makes it competitive with any other source of power.
Right, but solar is almost competitive right now.
Yeah.
And in many markets like Long Island, where we have high electricity rates, it is competitive.
Yeah.
So that's why they're getting nervous, because solar is actually competitively priced with fossil fuels right now. And so this is their last ditch effort to make sure they're trying to kill the solar industry.
Well, you know what I said to Manning was this. I said, why don't you take the attitude that you're in the energy business and not the oil business? If you're in the energy business, you can make money doing the other things.
Well, that's what they're eventually going to have to do.
And they'll have the money to do it.
And they're going to try and get every last bit of oil and natural gas and coal out of the ground, because that's much bigger profits for them. They've been doing it for a long time. They know how to do it. Their infrastructure is in place. They just want to keep doing what they're doing.
And, you know, and the argument I made also is that if you make this new economy on alternatives, you have a saleable commodity that you can sell all over the world. And it's a lot easier, cleaner, and sustainable, because we now become the source. We become what would be Saudi Arabia. We'd be the Saudi Arabia of alternative energy.
Absolutely.
And it can only bode well for the country.
Absolutely. I mean, I really think that, you know, when it comes down to it, a coal miner would much prefer to install solar panels than go down into the earth and do that horrible job.
Yeah. You know, it is amazing that these coal miners actually side with the companies on this because, I mean, there isn't a coal miner that hasn't lost a relative in a mine.
That's right. And it's not like the coal mining companies have their best interests at heart. I mean, when those 19 miners were killed in the mine a few years ago, that company has been fighting tooth and nail not to have more safety regulations imposed on it.
Well,
and,
we're getting away
with
profits.
And with the blowing off of the mountaintops that they like to do there in Appalachia, they've automated the process and they've laid off over 1,000 coal miners.
Yeah, well, when they get to, I know it's just ironic. At they're fighting for jobs, but that there isn't a business that I've ever came across that wanted to put more people on. The reason why they put people on is because they need them. They need their skills and need their brains, and that's the only reason why we hire people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not any, and I don't. That's not any. Thing negative to say about business. If I were running a business, I'd want to run it with less employees if I could. But I wouldn't use that as my story for being alive. It's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you see on the horizon as far as new technology that you've been either reporting on?
Oh, gosh, we report on lots of interesting new technologies that are coming out. Well, the one that comes to mind for me, though, is that under the radar screen, given how little action people are taking to combat climate change, there are efforts underway to create technology that will actually remove carbon from the air. Remove the carbon from the atmosphere.
Could they do that on a grand scale enough that would it make a difference?
Yes, it would. But, actually the simplest technology to remove carbon from the atmosphere is right beneath our feet, which is the soil. The soil, through organic farming and pasture, could actually absorb over 100% of the world's emissions every year. And since it's over 100%, it would actually be removing carbon from the air. So possibly the most important thing that we could do would be to full-scale convert to organic agriculture and pasture land.
And organic is getting more and more popular every year and cheaper to do.
Yes, it is, but we are being, just like we fight the fossil fuel industries on the energy front, we fight the GMO, the genetically modified organism industries on the agriculture front. So
yeah.
Companies like Monsanto, who want to own the patents to the seeds, are selling. We over 88% of the corn crop, 90% of the soybean crop, for example, in the United States, is now genetically modified.
And there's a big danger here because if we have a failure of that crop, we don't have a lot of alternatives.
Well, and it's beyond that. It's that, this was supposedly, intended to reduce the amount of pesticides that farmers needed to use. But the opposite is happening because these crops are creating super weeds and super insects that are resistant to these pesticides.
So now we got to put a lot of...
So now they're using heavier and heavier, more toxic pesticides, heavier doses.
I did read that. They are.
And, just a small example. I mean, I don't know if your listeners have heard, but, the bees and other pollinators are in trouble. And obviously, we can't eat without them. And one example is the monarch butterfly, which everybody loves, and which down to its lowest level ever last year, and people have their fingers crossed that some magic will happen and that they'll rebound this year. But a lot of the reason why their populations have dropped so much for all these pollinators is this new use of GMOs, which has just been around for 10 or 15 years. But because of the pesticides that they use and the fact that farmers are now not conserving. They always conserved land, and they always allowed wildflowers to grow with their land. But now they're just spraying pesticides all over the place. And there are no wildflowers for the bees to pollinate, the monarch butterflies, to get their nectar from. And they're being killed by the pesticides.
Yeah, that's Rona. I wish I had more time to talk to you because this has been a very interesting conversation, and I'm glad you were able to get a few salient points out there. Because as much as I do read on these things, a lot of people do not. So this is another way of reaching a public that you may not have otherwise reached.
I appreciate the opportunity.
And I want to congratulate you for doing a good job. I do read your stuff, and I learn something from it all the time. This is Ernie Fazio. I've been talking to Rona Fried. She's the executive director of sustainablebusiness.com. And I recommend that you go to that website. Ernie Fazio.